The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. He does not say, and to his offsprings, as of many, but as of one, and to thy offspring, who is Christ. Now I mean this, the law, which was made 430 years later, does not annul the covenant which was ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer from a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions, being delivered by angels through a mediator, until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. By no means is the law then contrary to the promises of God? By no means. For if a law had been given that could give life, justice would truly be from the law. But the Scriptures shut up all things under sin, that by the faith of Jesus Christ the promise might be given to those who believe. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entering a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, crying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass that as they were on their way, they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks. But he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said, Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith has saved thee." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people from the bulletin, there will be catechism class this morning, yes. And the next one doesn't pertain to us just yet, because we still have time, because All Souls Day envelopes will be ready for distribution pretty shortly. Tomorrow is a national holiday, Labor Day, and we certainly wish that all of us, you, will have a very pleasant day, a very safe day, and a very good day, and take a day off and relax. And may we ask for the blessing of God for that occasion as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, our occupation has to be only for the glory and the love of God. May I repeat that? Our occupation has to be only for the glory and the love of God. Nothing else matters. This is very difficult for us to listen to. I realize that. It is difficult for anybody and everybody to listen to, but nonetheless, this is our primary reason, our only occupation, our only preoccupation. We ask ourselves, we've asked ourselves on numerous occasions, why do we come here? Is it because we prefer this, which is enacted here, to that which is enacted elsewhere? We come to God not by something that we do, we come to God by something we become. And this is the whole subject, the whole reason, the whole preoccupation of why we come here. There are those who say, well, we are perfectly satisfied. We come here for Mass, for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's all. I'm perfectly satisfied. I have everything I want. I've got the Mass, and everything's fine. Well, up to a point, that's all right. But up to another point, it's not quite right. The holy sacrifice, now listen to this carefully. The holy sacrifice of the Mass, as exalted as it is, and as wonderful as it is, and as important as it is, if it is not completely and totally and absolutely underpinned by a proper faith, my beloved people, it would have been better for all of us to have stayed home, for all the good that the Mass will do us. It is not what we do that matters. It is what we are, what we become. We come here to gain grace. And the holy sacrifice of the Mass produces grace in us. But grace, what were the last words of this morning's gospel? Thy faith. And every time we turn around, our blessed Lord, anytime he does anything for anybody, thy faith has done it. I didn't do it. Your faith has done it. Your faith has done it. Your faith has done it. If we do not believe, nothing we do is worthwhile. There are lots and lots and lots of people outside who do most wonderful things. They build hospitals, and they take care of children. They even take care of homeless dogs and all kinds of things, you know, that we classify as admirable. But does that mean by that those people, whoever they may be, wherever they are operating from the front porch of faith in God? Even pagans can build hospitals and feed the poor. Yes. We have a mistaken idea. Those of us who follow footstep by footstep, the holy sacrifice, the true holy sacrifice of the Mass, that the more we do, the better we are. We cannot, my beloved people, and there are people who stay away from here, from sermons, because they don't want to hear it, but that doesn't matter to me. When we have to bring up that poor, poor Pharisee, he did everything good. He did everything right. But he went home unjustified. It is not a matter of what we do. It is what we become. It is what we are. It is strictly internal. What we do, we put on as we do our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. When the time is over for the necessity of Sunday meeting clothes, we simply take them up, hang them up in a closet until next Sunday. The important thing, my beloved people, is what are we? What am I? When I am not in this church, what am I like when I am not in this church? If only you could hear some of the complaints, some of the conversations, some of the telephone calls, if you could read some of the letters that we receive, and we get them, as you know, from all over this holy country or unholy country or whatever it is. My beloved people, for example, we have, as you know, we receive masses. We receive a lot of masses. We receive people who send as many as 100 masses sometimes. It's not too unusual. We received a letter yesterday from a gentleman from someplace. I think he sends down one mass a year. And whereas when he sent the mass down, he wanted to know if we said the true mass or whatever he had described. I said, yes, we say the true mass. We got a letter yesterday from the same gentleman. Now, I want to know, you said the true mass. Now, exactly and precisely, what do you mean by the true mass? Because I have to know before I will send my masses to some place that I'm uncertain of. Well, all right. It is not what we do. It is what we are. These pulpits, or this pulpit here, does not involve itself in polemic. Today's bulletin might be a kind of a polemic, but it had to be said. And I hope that it is received by everybody in the eye of faith, because we have come to the situation in life of asking or saying or telling or asking, where do we go for the true Mass? So that I can give worship to God, but rather we have come to that horrible state of life and condition and situation of the times of asking, am I a Catholic or not? It's as serious as that. I told you before, my dear people, I warned us. I said, it is time for the devil to come and make one big final sweep of his tail to grab up everybody he can. If my life depends upon it, I will stand in the way of that tail before it strikes you. I'm not afraid of his tail. And we must maintain our faith. We have to live by that faith if we expect to save our immortal souls. Yes, I ask again the same question. Why do you come here? Is this the only thing you do throughout the week that will ensure the reason behind it? My beloved people, not only do you come here, but your hours, I speak of you as if I'm teaching in a classroom. Well, I am, maybe. But we, ourselves, those of us that wear these things, you know, we have only one thing to worry about, and that's the salvation of our immortal souls. Everything else that we are involved in, no matter what it is, no matter what, if it in some way does not enhance the program for the salvation of my soul, it is wasted. It is wasted. I can wear chains around myself. I can wear hair shirts. I can walk on fire. I can do all kinds of crazy things. I can spend my life on my knees in prayer and still go to hell. That seems strange, doesn't it? That sounds strange, doesn't it? But all the prayers that I say, all the hair shirts that I say, are all window dressing, actually. Though they may be sincere, please don't misunderstand me. But have those prayers had any effect on me? Have I become just that little bit more of what God asks of me? That's the whole story. Nothing else matters. And when we put ourselves, and we put ourselves into other situations, we find that there are those who think that our religion, the salvation of our souls, our sanctification, depends on my ability, or anybody's ability for that matter, on my ability to argue a point, to prove a point, to debate a point, to write a book, or whatever. Oh no. God is not going to ask me, or you, how much I know, how much I have argued, how successfully I have argued, etc. and etc. How many times, excuse me for getting hoarse, don't bother, just don't worry about it, it's just me, I'm an old man. How many times have I said it from this point, that it is not, I will not be quizzed on how much I know, or how much I have successfully debated or proven or whatever. The one question which I will be demanded to defend is a simple question. Did you love me? And so, my precious people, I ask us, I don't direct this question only to you. I direct it to those of us who wear black, the sisters, up to the monks, the fathers, the brothers, myself, anybody. Religion is not just for us. I ask us the question, as sincerely as it can possibly be asked. I ask myself the question, and as I ask myself, you ask yourselves the question. Do I love God? If I do, then why do I put God so much in the second place of everything I do? You ask yourselves the question also. Well, we're not monks, we're not monastics, we're not sisters and nuns, we're lay people, of course. The same identical requirement, a regulation, is placed upon anybody, no matter what kind of clothes they wear. And the sooner we come to that realization, the sooner we'll begin to start experiencing a little bit of peace. But rather, what does all of this crazy argument, and this and that and the other, and proving and running and doing this and moving and all and everything else that goes with it, is that productive of peace? If coming here
just for coming here does not bring peace into your hearts and minds. You have no business coming here. And that's the truth. Our holy Catholic religion, if I may use a little expression, take it, you know, the way it's meant. If our holy Catholic religion has always been the mother of peace and serenity. Those who do not believe as we do, we don't say this disrespectfully, but because these individuals or whoever they are, wherever, when Protestantism came into existence, when man walked off the track of truth, I was told the other day that there are something like, I don't know, I'm not accurate on this figure, but I'm not too far off, something like 30,000 varieties of Protestantism. Now I'm going to say something that's going to be shocking. As I look about and look at the effort of what we call the traditional Roman Catholic Church, now please notice that I included the word traditional or traditionalist. We're really not traditional, we're Roman Catholic. But as I look about the so-called traditional Roman Catholic Church that we speak of today, my beloved people, it's beginning to look like there are as many traditionalist, disagreeing, and disagreeable centers as there are Protestant centers today. Why? Because just as the Protestants, now certainly I'm not, please understand, I'm saying this from charity, please believe me. What has been the pain, the bane of Protestantism? Private interpretation. Private interpretation, traditionalism, is Protestantism in reverse. Private interpretation. We cannot, we simply, I cannot, nobody can. There's only one truth. There's only one truth. And we are not allowed in any circumstance to wander from that truth. And the truth comes at us, we've spoken in here, from two directions, from the right and the left, the extreme right and the extreme left. Today, in the liberal church, as is pointed out in today's bulletin, salvation is handed out willy-nilly to almost anybody and everybody. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now, let's turn around and look at the other side of the fence. In so many of our traditionalist centers, salvation is withheld from almost everybody. My precious people, there's something wrong with that program. There's something as vital, terrible, fundamentally wrong with that. Is that what Jesus Christ came down to earth to produce? I dare say that that was not the case. Yes, it is our faith, our hope, our charity that brings grace down to us. And if any of this is missing, there is no grace. There is no grace. It is all a ceremony. If I could scream, I would scream. You do not come here because of a ceremony. If you're looking for a ceremony, go to the downtown theater. You can get it there. This is not a ceremony. I read the expression the other night, and it sent chills up and down my back. It really did. There's no exaggeration. I had to pray, please, Lord, let me go to sleep. It was that devastating. A simple expression. Yes, the fires of hell, we talk about it all the time. And the pit of hell, we try to describe it all the time. But this one thing about hell that we rarely emphasize or rarely bring to our attention, and that is that I, which God forbid, will spend an unending eternity in the most devastating hatred. What could be more horrible to consider? Hatred. Hatred that never knows satisfaction. And to show you how ridiculous we can be in these so-called very secure centers of holy tradition, I heard yesterday, for the second time I've heard this now, and it comes from some very reputable, otherwise, teachers of our holy faith, of our holy faith, of our holy faith, that it is quite appropriate for us to pray for the souls in hell. Merciful God. And you know the reason? You know the reason why we should pray for the souls in hell as given? that most likely our prayer will bring some measure of pleasure to that soul. My beloved people, once the train is derailed from the track, it can go in absolutely any and every possible direction, and it always ends up over the cliff. Believe that or not. That's why I'm so emphatic this morning. Truth is one. And we say there is nobody to declare the truth. Nobody we can respect or obey. Yes, there is. It isn't me. I'm not the one. Nobody here is the one. But we have a book. We'll talk about that book at another time. If we can follow that book, there is something that I say today, however, for us, again, repeating but emphasizing, a Catholic, my dear people, is one who subscribes to these and all the truths which the Roman Catholic Church teaches. And not one who believes selectively. That's where we are. In the name of the importance of your souls, be on your guard and go in the privacy of yourselves, ourselves, on our knees. The world outside demands this, no less, on our knees. How important is my salvation to be? And what is it that I do not understand about my salvation? I don't mean to offend anybody, but if offending somebody causes the salvation of that soul, then I shall become extremely offensive. Because that soul was enough. For Jesus Christ to come down and go through what we know he went through for one soul if necessary. And as he has said to certain mystics, if I had to come down all over again for that one soul, I would. So take this home with you, precious people. I want you to pray for us. This is one family. Yes, you come here to us in this our church, but this is still one family. And it is our business to see to it that you receive the grace to save your souls. Nothing else matters in a world that could care less. I give you my blessing, my dear people. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentes, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos, et mania sempre. Amen.